This is the Hoosier Ag Today Thursday podcast. Good morning on the 13th of March, 2025. I'm Andy Eubank, along with Eric Pfeiffer, CJ Miller, and Hat Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin. We have the latest Indiana farm news, plus markets and weather, brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. Visit them online, ffbt.com, to learn more. In the news, a celebration of women in agriculture during this month of March, and we delve into succession planning for Indiana woodland owners. Ryan's forecast maintains warm air for Indiana the next number of days. And yesterday, the grains and oil seeds all sold off. We'll have market commentary with Tom Fritz on the Hat Thursday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust. Equal opportunity lender, member FDIC.
Celebrating women in agriculture and a succession plan for your woodlands. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today. The month of March marks National Women's History Month and celebrates the contribution of women in American history, as well as their ongoing impact on society. This includes recognizing the vital role female leaders play in the agriculture industry.
It's a privilege to be able to serve the women of American agriculture through the Farm Bureau organizations.
That's Isabella Chisholm, who farms in Howard County, Indiana. She was reelected earlier this year to once again serve as chair of the American Farm Bureau Women's Leadership Committee. She says their theme this year is Thrive, as they convene for their women's communications boot camps this spring and fall and for their various other events throughout the year.
So we have in 2026 the International Year of the Woman Farmer coming up, which is an international celebration. So 25 is building up to that. And I think I said to our committee in January when I was kicking off our Thrive theme for the year is that we're on the cusp of something big. Let's just keep listening, moving forward, improving the things we're doing, and then applying the things that our members are asking for.
Chisholm says the Women's Leadership Committee is there to empower women in ag to positively influence elected officials or create or act upon local media opportunities to support Farm Bureau's policy work.
I believe my role personally is cheerleader and inspiration, because I see such great potential in all of our farm women, no matter what their role is, on and off the farm, and I want them to see it in themselves, because once you can see the power and potential within yourself, you're going to rise to bigger things than you ever thought you could do. And that's what we in agriculture need. Being less than 2% of the population, we need everybody. We need all hands on deck, and we need each of us working to the best of our ability.
Visit fb.org to learn how you can get more involved with the Farm Bureau Women's Leadership Committee. There's a link on our website as well. For many years now, you've heard us cover the topic of farm succession planning, but if you're an Indiana woodland owner, you probably want to have a succession plan in place as well. CJ Miller has more.
Surveys show that over one-third of woodland owners are age 65 years or older, and a whole lot of land's going to be passing on to the next generation over the next 20 years.
That's Liz Jackson, Executive Director of the Indiana Forestry and Woodland Owners Association, or IFWO for short. Both IFWO and Purdue Extension are hosting a series of web seminars this spring that deal specifically with succession planning for woodland owners.
We're going to have four sessions, and it's going to be via Zoom. They're going to be on Monday nights starting March 24th at 7 p.m. Eastern. We have a registration cost of $25 per family, and that can go for as many family members as you want to invite. And we'll have those sessions recorded and sent to registrants after if you don't think you can attend every session.
She says the biggest challenge is the fear of creating a family feud.
One of the barriers to why people don't get started with succession planning is because family dynamics are so tough. Relationships and communications can be difficult, and there are a lot of decisions that need to be made. Parents tend to want to be fair to everyone, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be equal. You have to find an equitable solution, and all of that is tough to do.
But she adds it's best to have that succession plan in place to protect both your heirs and your property.
During the transition of ownership is often when land is cut up into smaller parcels or converted from forests and developed. And so families may want to keep their land forested and in the family, so succession planning can help ensure that smooth transition to the next family members.
Learn more about the web seminar series hosted by IFWO at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm C.J. Miller.
And I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the Board of Directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. We've got some warm air in here as we finish the week. Now, it's been a very mild week so far, but I think we're really going to start to see temperatures ramp up as we move through today and tomorrow. That's because south and southwest flow is starting to develop ahead of our next weather system. There is a minor hiccup that we may have to keep an eye on here for the balance of today. We started off with a little bit of moisture trying to come together in the boot heel of Missouri. This weather system, or this disturbance, if you will, mostly moving through the Tennessee Valley this afternoon. But I won't rule out some cloud cover trying to get a little bit farther north, especially as we head towards sunset into southern parts of Indiana. And I have left moisture out for the most part up to this point, but this morning, I think we say to be safe, we have to allow for a little bit of light precipitation, a few spits and sprinkles in southeastern parts of the state. If you draw an arc from Louisville over to the Cincinnati area, that arc including the southeastern parts of the state, that's where I think the best chance of spits and sprinkles will be. Everybody else just seeing partly cloudy skies through the day. Now, as we move into tomorrow, we see very warm air, strong south flow in here, and that's going to be our warmest day of the week. Could knock on the door of the mid-70s in parts of Indiana, depending on how things come together. And then that's ahead of our next weather system that shows up overnight, Friday night through Saturday. Two waves now coming with this system. The first one is not really all that impressive. Friday after midnight, right on through Saturday midday, actually mid-morning, we can see anywhere from a quarter to three-quarters of an inch of precipitation across about 80% of the state. Then we see now a secondary surge that comes after sunset on Saturday night through early Sunday morning, and that's where we could see some strong thunderstorms. This is a new wrinkle here. Thunderstorms had been farther south and east. Now they're backing into Indiana, and that could bump us strongly on precipitation. Overall, with those thunderstorms, we can see the event totals. So from midnight Friday night through, let's say, 7 a.m. Sunday morning, we could be at anywhere from a quarter to 1.5 inches of rain, and we're looking at 100% coverage out of this event. So it's a big one. Now, after that's done, we get colder for Sunday, particularly in the afternoon and evening, and that chill stays through Monday, warming up next Tuesday and Wednesday, all dry, all four of those days. Our next weather system likely coming on Thursday of next week, the 20th. Rain to start, some hit and miss of scattered rain showers, few hundreds to maybe half an inch, and then colder air comes in on the backside. So anything that lingers through sunset and into early Friday morning may be sloppy, wet snow. Cooler temperatures then finish the week Friday the 21st before temperatures moderate over the weekend of the 22nd and 23rd. The following week, that last week of March, does look a little more active on precipitation. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Every piece of equipment tells a story. The combine that helped build a family farm. The excavator that shaped communities. These aren't just machines. They're chapters in someone's journey. At Purple Wave Auction, we understand that selling your equipment means trusting us with your legacy. And when you're buying, you're not just getting a machine, you're becoming part of this continuing story. From farm to farm, job site to job site, we help write the next chapter. Purple Wave Auction, the easiest and most straightforward way to buy and sell equipment.
A sell-off across the board. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Wednesday Farm Market Review, plus market commentary. Settlements on the way. We begin with thoughts from Tom Fritz of EFG Group in Chicago. I spoke with him at the end of the session. It was a sell-off as the corn, bean, and wheat markets worked lower throughout the trading session, even though we did see a little bit of a bounce back in the stock market and crude oil. Pressure on the grains and oil seeds. Tom, where's it coming from?
Well, I think that's, you know, unless you've had your head in the sand, excuse my terminology, it's tariffs. You know, and tariffs are a market killer. Our administration is, enacting tariffs against right now it's Europe is the latest. April 2nd, supposedly, well, Canada as well. And supposedly on April 2nd, there's going to be more against Mexico and more against Canada. And these people are retaliating. They're saying, nuts to you. You want to play that game? We can play that game too. So, bottom line is we can't sell our products. Nobody wants to buy our products. And so the market goes down. And I wrote in my comments the other day, tariffs are a market killer. And if you recall back a number of years ago when the man in the White House played this game before, grain prices took it on the chin, and they just stayed depressed for a number of months. And right now, unless he swivels around and rescinds some of these, which he has threatened to do, our markets are going to stay depressed. Now, different now from his last term, the guy's quick to change his mind. So in that regard, anything can happen. But right now it's, as they say, tit for tat. We're enacting tariffs against countries. Those countries are enacting tariffs against us. And the bottom line is we don't have any business, so our grain prices just kind of slip, slide away. But from a technical standpoint, if you all recall, in the case of the corn market, we had built a rather large speculative long position. Last week on the Commitment of Traders report, we saw a good chunk of that liquidated. It was the second biggest liquidation in 19 years, as far as the Commitment of Traders is concerned. And I would think after this week, we'll probably see a little bit more, especially since today is Tuesday, or excuse me, no, today's Wednesday. They may not show the liquidation this week because of yesterday's break was, just minimal. But bottom line is it looks like anybody who's been long this market is heading for the hills. Wheat market, not as depressed. But then again, the wheat market didn't have quite the rebound that we saw in the corn market. And the wheat market does have a little bit of a weather issue developing. And that's just the dryness down in the southern plains. For the winter wheat that's about to break dormancy. Because if you look at the varieties, Chicago wheat was lower, Minneapolis wheat was lower, whereas Kansas City wheat is a little bit better. So I think that's the issue there. And then the soybean market, Brazil's got a monster crop. China's not buying any from us. Now Europe's not going to buy any from us, at least for the time being. So where are we going to go? And, soybean meal, I don't think there's much downside in soybean meal because historically below 290 is support. And I say historically, you can go back and look a number of years where we've traded that low. Doesn't go much lower than that. So, but right now there's really very little upside. And soybean oil is caught between, China said, we're not going to buy any more rapeseed oil from Canada. So rapeseed oil takes it on the chin. China already has invoked some tariffs against us. And lately, up until today, gasoline prices, heating oil prices have been taking it on the chin. That weighs on the bean oil. And if you noticed in the yesterday's supply-demand report on bean oil, sure, they increased exports, but they decreased domestic usage. And so that what that would suggest is we're not going to use so much for biodiesel. So bottom line is, our markets are struggling. And right now, unless the man in the White House changes his tune on some of these tariffs, I have to think that these markets will indeed stay under pressure.
Tom Fritz, Market Analysis. Tom with EFG Group in Chicago. Settlements now from Wednesday trade, 9.5 cents lower on both the May and July corn contracts. May goes to 460.75. July dips to 467.5. September 442.5, a 7.25 cent loss. Down a dime and 3/4 on the May beans, $10.5. An even dime lower July, 10.15.5, August 10.13.75, 9.5 down, and May wheat trailing the other markets down 2.75, though 5.54. Meats mostly higher. April live cattle 201.40, up $1.85, down a nickel on April lean hogs 86.50. May though 90.45, up 25 cents. I'm Andy Eubank with the Wednesday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.